what The Rock is cooking.
Oh, don't forget, The Rock is hosting SNL tonight.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
That's been a while. What's he got, a movie coming out?
Fast 7.
Oh.
Or Furious 7, whatever you want to call it.
Whatever.
You know, that's his fourth, this is going to be his fourth time hosting. He's almost to the five-timers club.
Wow. Yeah,
well, I mean, he is really one of the biggest box office draws right now.
Is he?
Yeah. In what way, Jason?
There was a stretch, whatever year that Fast 5 came out.
I mean, he's not a good actor. I don't understand how he's a draw.
I think he's a good actor.
Oh, he's a terrible actor.
Oh, come on.
He's not good.
Sure he is.
He has no range.
Oh God! Okay.
What?
But there were
challenge. Are you? Oh, please! I
shut up.
You're recording.
There was a stretch in time around when Fast 5 was out where they were basically like.
You're right. Tooth Fairy was great.
Like,
and
okay,
so
look,
was
I'm not saying.
Let him finish your
goddamn
finish.
Jesus.
Answer.
Look, everybody has a stinker. Okay.
Anyway,
it's not
so,
perfect.
So finish your answer. Please.
There was a stretch of about 20 weeks where one of his movies was always in the top 10 at the box office.
Recently?
The year Fast 5 came out, was that 2012, 2013?
Well, the thing about The Rock, and look, I like The Rock.
I do
but,
too.
But I can't, you know, you can't tell me a successful movie he's had that he's carried.
One of those G.I. Joe movies?
That's not a Rock centric.
Scorpion King?
Oh, and you consider that a success?
I mean, it was a box office success. It made a lot of money.
No, I mean
what do you define successful?
I don't know, The Terminator. I mean, again, you know, you win. Arnold Schwarzenegger is a draw. Even, God bless him, Stallone was a draw. The Rock isn't a draw like
that.
Yeah,
I don't think people go because it's The Rock.
Right.
Well, maybe some do because it's
some,
The Rock.
Well, of course some do, goddamn. You didn't get some fucking idiot to show up.
No, I'm with
some
you,
asshole. I know.
Okay, all right, hold on.
Look,
so.
Some asshole listened to this fucking show because of us, okay? I mean, you know, you can get someone to do something, okay?
Doesn't make us a draw.
Right, exactly, you know? If one of us went on another podcast, some idiot might fucking listen to it because of us.
So he's got seven movies that have grossed over $100 million.
That's $100 million isn't what it used to be.
But that's average. I mean, they're not adjusting for inflation. Scorpion King made $91 million. They're not adjusting that for inflation.
Right.
The Mummy Returns made
$200
million.
But that rode the wave
of
the Mummy.
The Mummy, right, exactly. The Mummy Returns, that's not a Rock movie that he carries. Again, do you understand the concept of him?
He didn't carry The Mummy Returns, but I'm just saying the guy's been in a shit ton of movies.
Walking
the guy's a super.
I mean, I didn't even see Walking Tall. I don't know.
Oh, my goodness. The original Walking Tall is an excellent movie based on Buford Pusser. It's a great movie. The piece of shit they made.
Well, I mean, and I'll go to this.
And I like The Rock, and I will watch a movie because of The Rock.
So he's a draw.
I mean, for me, yes. I've watched all his dumb. Actually, the best movie I think he did, damn it, I don't remember the name of it, where he played.
It must have been good. Unforgettable.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. But anyway.
He did rejuvenate the whole Fast and Furious franchise. I mean, that franchise was limping along.
I think he's good for that.
Five, and then it just explodes again.
He's good for that franchise, yes.
Right. But that,
because that franchise doesn't demand good actors.
How they made seven of those fucking movies, I have no idea. I've seen zero.
Because they make a shit ton of money.
Because it's hot chicks and cars.
Hot chicks, I get. My favorite was Tokyo Drift. They had a lot of hot Asian ass.
Well, that kind of revived it.
No, that kind of almost killed it.
Oh, never mind. What was it? Fast 5 is what was almost revived.
Jeff just sounded like the Sherry O'Terry.
Fast 5, I mean.
On the morning talk show.
The morning talk show was
Full
Staple. Oh, that almost revived it. No, it killed it.
No, it killed it.
Anyway, I like The Rock, too. He is definitely a personality, and I think people like him. But, again, I wouldn't call him a draw.
I love The Rock. I think he's great. I wish him luck and much success because of who he is. He's a good guy. He's fun. He knows how to laugh at himself as well. But he's not a bad actor. I mean, there's worse.
Right.
But he's not a good actor either. Stallone is a better actor than The Rock.
Rocky was a pretty great movie. It really is.
Right, Rocky is. That was 40 years ago? 35 years ago?
Doesn't matter.
What has Sylvester Stallone done lately?
It's not about time. It's just the movies that Stallone did are he's better in them than the movies that The Rock is in, and then how The Rock did in them.
Huh.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's just that little grin that he always does or something. I don't know.
I guess he does play a lot of the same character.
Well,
yeah. Well, that's what I meant when I said he doesn't have range.
Right. But neither did
Stallone.
Right. Look, a lot of your action guys, okay, and I'll name Clint Eastwood and John Wayne and Stallone and Schwarzenegger. They played but more so Wayne and Eastwood. They play the same character in every movie.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. They don't have a lot of range. People went to see John Wayne. John Wayne as a Marine. John Wayne as a cowboy. You know, they want to see fucking John Wayne. They don't give a shit what he, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and I think Eastwood's the same way, you know, Unforgiven. I mean, you know, you want to see that, the man with no name character.
And Stallone and Schwarzenegger, no difference.
I mean, I guess the range you could see with The Rock is that he can do a comedy.
Well, so can
he
Stallone.
He does a comedy better than, I will give him that.
Right, he does a bit comedy better than other action stars.
Yes.
Well, I mean, Kindergarten Cop. Twins, you know, I mean...
I'm thinking Junior. Sorry, never mind.
No, Junior was just, Junior was just stupid.
Giggle all the way!
Okay, are we good? Have you been recording all that?
Yeah, I got it.
So
I mean,
there goes my cold open. I wanted to do a cold open on topic, but I think that'll be good. What's up, Hootat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol podcast. I'm your host, Jeff. My drunk scale rating is a 1 right now. I'm working on my second vodka and cranberry. Okay, so this might seem like a quiet week in Saints news, but we do hope you enjoyed our WrestleMania-themed rock talk before we started the show. We do think we have enough to fill a show, though, including things like the Saints payroll conversation. We've got NFL reach around, Sean Payton quotes to talk about, Mickey Loomis quotes to talk about, an update from Damon's favorite storyline, the Benson family drama, and of course, lest we forget, the return of a supersized Look at Him Tweets. So put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
Probably just maybe a half. I just had a cup of wine. I'm probably going to get a beer soon, but I was at a better number last night.
Yeah,
when
you
we
were.
Didn't have the show when Damon got a call. He had to go look at some dude's dick. So,
speaking of looking at dicks, what were you doing before we recorded the show?
I was in my my Harry Potter rewatch. I was on the fourth movie, The Goblet of Fire.
Mm-hmm.
We do a rewatch before we go on vacations and stuff. So.
Yeah, we know what to do.
Perhaps the great ringworm of Bailey is about.
Ringworms are no match for a dwarf.
Yes, we shall slay the ringworm and take its bounty of treasure, for that is the way of...
I shall put a magic spell on you.
I have blocked your spell, wizard. Hey, what are you guys doing?
We're playing Harry Potter.
Ha! Fags!
Okay, so Damon, welcome to the show. What's your number?
Thank you. No, 0.
As is, of course, the tradition. All right. Damon, did you do anything before the show?
Actually, I was watching The Amazing Spider-Man.
I did go to that Hogs for the Cause event today.
Oh, was that today?
Yeah, that was today. Had a couple beers out there. Had some interesting dishes. It's a pretty cool event. First time we'd gone. We keep saying we're going to go and never been able to, so.
Well, it's only the second year, so.
I think this is the third year?
Second.
How do you know? You don't even live here.
I know, because they're my competition.
Oh. Well, they put on a fantastic event.
I know they do. They're very good. All right, so let's waste no time, because I honestly feel like, again, you would think there wasn't a whole lot of headline-type stuff. but there is a lot to talk about. So I think we're going to fill up the show with a lot of talk. But the first thing, we do have one headline. So let's do headlines.
Hello, I'm Kent Brockman, and this is Eye on Springfield.
And the headline is Dan Keith Simmons has retired. Does anybody know who he is?
Yes. Dan Simmons has been with the Saints for...
Is it 42 years?
Something like that, right. I mean, he's seen just about everybody and everything, you know?
What was his role?
I'm not sure how you say
it. I'm not laughing at you. I mean, like, I think it's funny. No one knows.
No. I mean, he's a do-it-all guy. There's a couple of guys we deal with when we service the Saints accounts, and they're just jack of all trades. Dan was one. Dan was always one of my contacts, and another guy is Jay Romig, who is actually the son and brother of the Saints announcer in the Dome. Mm-hmm. And like I said, during game days, I mean, there's so much going on, like, you know, from the officials to the media, you know, like with the officials, they have to make sure that their radios are there, the beepers are there, the room is set up for them, you know, and Jay and, you know, does all that. So again, they're the unsung heroes that make the organization run, behind the scenes guys doing the, not the dirty work, but the not so glamorous work.
So, I mean, did he ever hold positions, you know, official positions, even in the past, maybe, when Mora was here, or in the 80s? The equipment manager, I think, might have been one of them. I'm just kind of doing a Google search, that's why I know that. But I mean, you're right. It's somebody who, he's the longest tenured employee in probably Saints history. And he just retired. So I think it's at least worth us mentioning him and giving him a spot on the show. Good job, Dan. Chief. All right, with that, we'll move on to overanalyze this. And this is the one that's going to be the thickest piece.
Thickest cut.
That's what she said. So the first piece is, Damon, why don't you lead us off with the Benson family drama? What updates do you have for us? News do you have for us?
And not nudes, news.
Oh, then nothing. No. There was a letter released within the last couple of days, but the letter comes from early March, and it's the judge in the Texas case who put the former mayor, Phil McCock, and a state attorney over the Benson Trust. Right. Anyway, he sent a letter to the two attorneys basically telling them to stop doing any legal movements for the trust. And how he described it, he goes, what this case really is 2011 Tom Benson versus 2014 Tom Benson.
This is what makes time travel possible. I'll show you how it works.
This readout tells you where you're going. This one tells you where you are. This one tells you where you were. You input your destination time on this keypad.
I've always dreamed of seeing the future, looking beyond my ears, seeing the progress of mankind.
And in this judge's opinion, he doesn't see how Mr. Benson can really, you know, switch the assets
and take the Saints and Pelicans out.
Right.
And then I think, you know, Benson's lawyers think, well, no, they still think he can. Like, they haven't agreed with this judge at all during any of the proceedings.
Right. And look, and this was just a letter to the two attorneys to basically tell them, stop charging the trust for your time. I think it was something ridiculous, like $11,000 a day, these two scumbags were charging the trust. And no, you're right. I don't think this judge understands, or his opinion is just that, his opinion. But again, even what he was saying was in a letter to the two overseers of the trust, not an any official opinion. So that's the only thing new. We know, I think it was Friday a week ago, mm-hmm. that they supposedly had finished all the evaluations of Mr. Benson. We're not going to hear that until the next trial date.
So we don't know the results yet.
No, not of those.
Or their findings.
But then a couple of the local guys, Holder and somebody else, interviewed Benson at the owners' meetings this week, and they seem to think he was still sharp. And
exactly. He's been very active in the owners' meeting.
And probably a little bit of that to demonstrate.
Well, sure.
You know,
100%.
Right. Well, right. Not just active, but also speaking to the media, speaking to our Mr. Benson's always been a private guy. I mean, come on. I mean,
right.
He's been an owner now 85, you know, 40, well, 30 years. And really, how many interviews does Mr. Benson give?
Right. I was about to say, think about it. He's been a silent partner, if you will, for almost his whole career, which is, I mean, this is, please don't take this out of context, but like, which is why we've been successful.
At least recently. Yeah.
Well, not just recently. I mean, the Mora years.
We even, yeah, you're right. You're right.
And we just had that slump from 90, what?
About 94 to 2005.
We had success in 2000.
Yo, okay, one outlier.
All right. Hey, I'm taking it. I'm going to count it.
All thanks to Aaron Brooks.
Oh, ring of honor.
Right. God, no.
Okay, but yeah, I mean, you're right, Damon. I mean, he's a quiet, and I for one don't want an owner. You know, let's say when he does die, whoever ends up taking over the ownership responsibility of the team, I don't want an owner like Al Davis or Jerry Jones who
wants to
get involved.
Right. When Mr. Benson first bought the team in '85, he went, got the best GM available, Mr. Finks.
Hashtag Jim Finks.
Right. And if anybody remembers this, Mr. Finks was up for the job of commissioner against Paul Tagliabue.
Oh, I did not know that.
Right. Those two, you know, after Pete Rosella stepped down, those were the top two contenders. And Mr. Finks was actively our GM at the time. And it doesn't – that slump from 94 to 2006
was also –
Well, he died. I mean,
well, that's what I meant. Yeah.
You know. He left this earth,
right? You know,
he died from cancer, didn't he?
That is correct. Yeah. He,
and then Bill Koharik destroyed everything that he built.
Yes.
Oh God, did he?
So, but the point being, when Mr. Britson came, he went and got the best GM that was available, and from everything that we've seen, read, heard, lived through at the time, he said, "This is your, you know, here you go. Here's the team. I'll sign the checks. Any big moves, of course, you ask me, but run it. And I think it's the same thing that he does with Mickey Loomis now.
And he did with Mueller, and he's probably did with Koharik.
Sure.
I think the knock, if I were the three R's, I would actually not point at Benson now, but I would point at the late 90s and be like, look, he went senile then when he allowed Koharik to continue to do what he was doing.
And hired Mike Ditka.
Right. You know? Or if I was Benson, I'd at least be like, look, I was messed up then, but I'm obviously clear-headed now. So anyway, okay, let's move on. Sean Payton quotes. Let's talk. So Sean Payton spoke extensively on Wednesday and on a lot of different subjects. He gave a lot of, I think, some good comments that maybe clarified a few things. Mickey Loomis also spoke. So in this, let's just kind of pull both anything you've heard from Payton or Loomis about what they said on these subjects. So the first subject is going to be on Brandon Browner and the signing of him and what they saw, why they signed him. Go, Jason.
Physical leader, trying to make a good mentality in the locker room.
All right.
Well, I mean, I think his quotes were mostly about, I mean, yeah, maybe he talked a little bit about Browner. I didn't really pay attention to Browner, but more of some of the other players he was talking mm-hmm. about, some of the other moves they've made.
Well, I think what I liked that he said about Browner, I mean, you're right, he talked about the size, and the reason they wanted him was because if you look at the size of the receivers in the NFC South, look at Atlanta, look at Carolina, and he even said Tampa, that the NFC South receivers are bigger as a division than any other division in football. And so he likes the bump and run approach that Browner's going to bring to the table. And with Lewis on the other side of the presser, I mean, think about where we've gone from our secondary, how small they were two, three years ago to where they are now. You have to adjust.
Well, even though Greer was small, he was still very good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, small doesn't mean you're terrible, but having the size to match up. We needed it, considering how bad our defense has been, how bad our secondary's been.
Well, and Greer could get away with being small because, I mean, you're playing against Steve Smith in Carolina. Now Steve Smith's gone, they got bigger receivers.
Yeah, but you still had Roddy White. He's still 6'2", 3", 4", something like that.
Yeah, and Corey White is like 4'2".
I've been talking to y'all the whole time with my thing on mute, and you thought y'all were assholes.
What did you have to say? Go ahead, Damon. You have the floor.
Right. But you know, one of you're talking about cornerbacks. We really have to have either Stanley Jean Baptiste or the Cajun Canadian.
Delvin Bro.
Bro, right. One of those two guys really have to make an impact this year. You know, really step up their game.
Yeah, again, Peyton did say that again. They knew when they drafted Baptiste that he was a project. Now, whether
they wouldn't put him on the field last year scares me.
Because it's almost like they're trying to, they almost have to say that to try to save face and not say, yeah, we just whiffed on this dude last year.
Yeah.
So. Hopefully he pans out and gives us something.
My bold prediction for the offseason is that he does not play much this year, and he's not a Saint for very long.
It's done.
Really?
Interesting. Wow.
It's a bold prediction.
Yeah. File it away for our August 25th.
I put it this way. I don't think Stanley Jean Baptiste is going to be, you know, one of our guys, you know what I mean? He's not going to be one of our guys.
All right, interesting.
All right, so let's start. Right, so the next thing that Sean, can you guess what we're going to talk about next? The next thing that Sean Payton talked about was on the Jimmy Graham trade. Also, Loomis talked about it. some things that Payton said is about the tight end position with respect to the trade. I'm going to paraphrase, but I like
that. I love Sean Hill. That's basically paraphrasing what Peyton said.
Yeah,
I think you're right.
Peyton talked about Hill a ton, mentioned him a lot, how much he loves him. I mean, they might even have threesomes together. Who knows? I mean, it's something he has got.
Well, what's
fucking
there not to love about him? He's good in the running game as a blocker. He's good in the passing game as a receiver. And he's good on special teams. And he's cheap.
Oh, might be something else, too. I mean, Peyton's just all over him.
I mean, what else does there need to be?
A full season of production where we can see it on the field.
Well, he's giving him that chance right now.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is, clearly.
And good old Ben Watson.
Ben Watson!
With his old balls. But I think what I got from Sean Payton's comments was that the tight end position, in a sense, like Jimmy Graham, is not the only, quote, joker position. You know, Sean Payton likes to talk about the joker card. I mean, I think that's what Saints fans need to, like, de-brainwash yourself. Like, you don't have to have a number one tight end in the league to win and be competitive. That's just how Jimmy Graham's role was. But before Jimmy Graham, I mean, Shockey played a role, but we won the Super Bowl because we had a bunch of role players. And we had Darren Sproles. So you just moving.
No, we didn't.
Oh, shit. No. You're right. We didn't. God damn it. I really wish we would have won the Super Bowl with Darren Sproles. He deserves one.
I mean, that means we'd have an extra one. So, yes, I tend to agree with you.
Yeah.
But, no, like, you have a bunch of role players. I mean, you don't have to have the giant tight end. And even though Hill is a giant himself. I don't know. I just like that Sean Payton was just saying, like, you change how you do things. Look, you just change where your targets are. You just look for weapons. Just give Breeze weapons.
Correct. A tight end like Jimmy Graham is a luxury, not a necessity. You go
a great
back,
center in our offense is kind of a necessity.
Correct.
That's what, boom. Return.
Correct. Very good. Very good point, Jason. You're right. That's more important to how Sean Payton runs an offense. I think someone like Spiller, again, I say it almost every week, you know, that scat back is almost a necessity in a Sean Payton offense.
Okay, Damon, I'm glad you mentioned C.J. Spiller because that's the next talking point. One of the things that Payton said was it sounds like C.J. Spiller and his agent shopped themselves to teams like the Saints based on how C.J. Spiller wanted to be utilized. And from Payton's comments, it seems like he wants to be kind of that, again, to use the Payton term, joker position. He wants to be – he fits perfectly with the type of offense that Sean Payton runs. And so it almost sounds like Spiller and them wanted to play for the Saints.
Look, Jason has mentioned this a couple of times since we signed Spiller. You look at Reggie Bush and Darren Sproles and how they were – well, it was Bush afterwards, you know, but Sproles before. San Diego had Sproles for 4 years before we got him. And he was good, but he wasn't that dynamic back that he, you know, that he was with us, where he set the all-purpose, or at least he led the league in all-purpose yards. And I think he actually set the record.
Yeah, he did.
Right,
he did.
You know, for all-purpose yards. And, of course, that's how, you know, when you're a football player, you want the ball. I mean, you know, these guys, especially an offensive guy, you know.
Big-time players make big-time plays.
Right, you know, they want to showcase themselves. So I think it's easy, you know, with Chip Kelly and Sean Payton, and I'm not sure who else he would have shopped himself to.
Payton also mentioned watching some of the clips of Spiller and just how dynamic he could be.
Yeah.
I mean, not only is he quick and fast, but he's a physical back, too. He's just very, very explosive. And, I mean, I just cannot wait to see him in this offense on the field.
You're right. You're right. He is a physical back who can run between the tackles a little bit better than Reggie and Sproles can.
And he's a little bit bigger than Sproles, so, you know, knock on wood, the injury risk is lower. Does that make sense?
Well, but Sproles really never got
injured. Yeah, I don't remember Sproles.
Injured.
Well, that's why I'm not saying Sproles did, I'm just saying the risk is lower.
Right. I guess. Look, I mean, I say this every year in almost every game, sitting in the dome watching them get hit, I say, man, if I got hit like that, I would really be dead. You know, I mean, you have to come and drag
me. Pads.
I don't give a rat's ass.
Still, you're still getting popped.
And right. Conditioned.
Right. Well, right, you know, so that might have something to do with it there, Jeff. They're conditioned.
Yeah. All right. So the next thing is on Colston. You know, so for some reason they asked about Colston. I guess because the fact that we got him to play another year. You know, I mean, it's obvious. Sean Payton loves Colston, and why not? He talked about how big he is, how tough he is. He's a tough guy. The vision that Colston has, he can play in any position they need him to play, receiver-wise. I suspect that because Jimmy Graham is gone, that we'll see more targets for Colston this year.
See more targets for everybody. I mean, if you think about it, I mean, you got – you know, 80.
I mean, that was like 50% of Breeze's passes, wasn't it?
Right, 100 something targets for Jimmy. You got to go somewhere else. Mm-hmm. They'll be evenly distributed, but it does, you know, especially depending on what we do if they draft another receiver. I mean, you got Cooks, who's a little short, but you do have Shontavious Jones and Coleman.
Mm-hmm.
They seem to be high on now. They don't have a lot of experience.
Well, Payton said that they would have a role this year. And I don't know what that means, whether it means on the practice squad again or...
Well, I mean, I think they're going to give Mary opportunity to make the team and contribute.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they can or not, we'll have to wait and find out.
Step it up, boy.
You know, everything you just said right there, I mean, and I think the theme, at least with fans, is that with Jimmy gone, it's going to be addition by subtraction. And yes, we love Jimmy. Jimmy Graham was a fan favorite and seemed like a good guy. But with him gone, everybody else gets a chance to shine. And like we said last week.
Yeah, it's been kind of the Jimmy show the last couple of years.
Right. With Graham not there, with somebody to focus on as a defensive coordinator, or defensive scheme, it's a lot harder to stop this team when you can't say, you know. Right, because, you know, you go back to 2006 and to 11, or 9 to 11, you know, we didn't have that superstar receiver. We didn't have the Calvin Johnsons. You know, Shockey was at the later end of his career. There was no one you know, we just had a bunch of blue-collar receivers.
A bunch of good guys that Drew helped to make better.
Right, right, and did their role. Exactly, and that's what you said a lot right there. Drew will make the receiver better. It's not vice versa. So, not that I wouldn't like a Calvin Johnson, you know. If we can get one.
If they have to draft the guy at 13.
Right.
Yeah, sure, I'll be all for it.
Right, but it's not necessary for our offense. Where our offense is, and Peyton kind of mentioned something about this, I think, it's defense. If we can get the defense to stop, because even 2009, God, if you all remember, we gave up a lot of yards.
Smoke and mirrors, if it wasn't for the crazy turnovers that
we got. Well, the turnovers, yes, were incredible. But
and the defensive touchdowns.
Well, but we were still the number three scoring defense. That doesn't mean us scoring. Stopping opponents to score.
Yeah.
You know, even though we were giving up tons of yards, we were the number three scoring defense. And that's what's important for this team to be successful. You know, like I've always looked, you can let a team go from the 1 yard line to the 1 yard line as long as they're kicking field goals.
The Saints team can win. All right. So then on Hill himself, y'all talk about how you feel like Sean Payton's having three ways, threesomes with Josh Hill and his girlfriend.
Hill's girlfriend or Sean's girlfriend?
Either one.
Swap them in and out.
You know, whatever. So, or maybe it's an orgy. anyway, Hill caught 14 passes and 5 touchdowns last year. Some of Peyton's comments, you know, he talked about I'm going to read exactly what Peyton said. Josh Hill is a player that we value a lot. He's not on anyone's fantasy first 3 rounds, I promise you, but he's a real good tight end. He's versatile in the running game, the receiving game, and as a special teams player. I said that earlier. Obviously, that's where I got it from. I mean, any other thoughts on Josh Hill that you guys have? Or do you think we kind of beat that horse?
I think we beat the horse as far as fans, what we see. Because you said it. He got 14 passes. That's all we see as fans. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm not watching the tight end during running plays.
Special teams.
Right. But that Peyton sees it and knows it, I think that might have also helped Jimmy out the door.
That's a good, you know, you say that and it made me immediately think. That's why sometimes fans just need to shut the fuck up. Whenever the people who were bitching about the Graham trade, you know better. Your job is not to pay attention to every player and evaluate every player on this team. You don't know what Sean Payton and Mickey Loomis see and what they talk about. We don't know. Like you said, we didn't watch Hill's production on anything other than 14 times last year. That's all we saw. And maybe they felt like, you know, they said that the trade with Jimmy Graham was something that obviously before it broke was at least, I think they said a week of conversations. And I have to say, I'm going to give a little bit of respect to Seattle's organization, because even Sean Payton kind of gave a little respect to them to say, no one on their organization or our organization leaked that information. It was a surprise to everyone, which he said the fact that it didn't leak was part of what made them even pursue it more, because they could see that Seattle was serious about making this happen. And it makes me think that if they would have leaked the information, the Saints might have pulled out. That's what she said. All right. Next piece was, this is the next, overanalyze this. That's all I had for Sean Payton's.
I got one more thing. Did y'all see the picture of him from the owner's meeting that came out?
He looked hungover.
No, he took a picture with a few of the coaches, and he was standing behind them kind of from the side. He really looked like the scene in Anchorman with Will Ferrell with the boner sticking out of his pants.
Oh, no.
Like, if you see the picture, it really looks like he has a hard on.
Maybe he does.
He must have been thinking about Josh Hill. I mean, I don't know if you can if you can quickly find it on the internet. Maybe you find it on Twitter.
I mean, what would you search? Sean Payton.
Sean Payton. They're not going to put Sean Payton dick pic.
Sean Payton.
2050 owners meeting.
Yeah.
Okay, I see it.
You got it?
You found the picture?
Oh, my God.
He is, right?
Wait a second. Put a link at the Skype.
Well, I can't put it in Skype because I'm not on the computer Skype, but I'm going to email it to y'all.
What did you Google?
I just Googled Sean Payton, Andy Reid.
Oh, yeah, look, even if you do Sean Payton 2015 owners meeting, if you scroll down a little bit, it's in the middle. He's wearing a green shirt and navy
Google
pants.
It's a Google search.
Not Yahoo. Oh, fuck me.
Yeah.
I mean, it really
is. That is a fucking hard on.
I mean, right?
Wow.
He's standing with Kubiak.
Sean looked like Sean Payton, pretty excited for annual coaching pick.
Oh, my God. Oh, you know we have to tweet this, y'all. Oh, no, I don't want to do this, but we have to.
You're not going
to
be the first one to tweet it. I've seen it already.
I know, but jeez.
But then on the link I sent Damon, right under that is the Anchorman picture.
Yeah.
Oh, send me that one.
It's an optical illusion. It's pattern on the pants. But it...
Yeah, it really is. Yeah, the pants, the cleats or whatever.
No. What?
No, that's the joke from Anchorman.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
That's
a legitimate bulge.
No,
I think that's Sean Payton.
I mean, I don't know, man.
I
don't know. It's just a little chub.
I think that's just Sean Payton's just fucking got balls, man.
His dick is always half hard, right?
Alrighty, but let's move on. So the last piece of overanalyze this I had was, did you guys hear Jeff Ireland has already moved to assistant GM?
Yeah, I just think that's a title, you know. I mean, he's going to be the head of the draft.
Yeah, head of college scouting.
Right.
Sure. I guess with Ryan Pace gone, you assemble your team.
I don't think it's a big much to do about.
Well, that's why it's under overanalyze this, not analyze this.
What if I underanalyze it?
Then you'd be doing what you do for most things.
All right.
All right, now let's move on to our next segment. Look at him tweets. And in this, we are looking at a couple of tweets that came in because finally I asked several days before we recorded.
Yeah, it's almost like a week in advance.
Why not? I mean, when you think about it, you can submit. Let me speak to the fans for a minute, but to the listeners. You guys know that you can submit anything for Look at Him tweets, Jason. Thank you. Anytime throughout the week, and as long as they come in between shows, we'll catch them as long as you use the hashtag Look at Him tweets.
Yeah.
And so, I like how it matches the tone.
Oh, yeah.
So, just because if we ask for them, it's just to remind you, but please, if you listen to the show on a Tuesday and you think of Look at Him tweets on the Wednesday, then go ahead and submit it on Twitter and use the hashtag Look at Him tweets. All right. So, the first one we have. It comes from Near. It's been a while since we heard from you, Near. And so he asks, how mad would you be if the Saints trade away their second first-round pick to climb into the top five to pick a receiver?
I don't want to trade up for anything. We haven't been very successful at that. And at this point, we really need young bodies on the team. I like having a lot of picks because it gives us a bigger, margin of error, with more chances. So I'd rather keep all the picks or even accumulate one or two more at some point. Just bring in as many guys as possible and hope that you hit on a field.
Damon?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to kind of go with what you said a while ago, Jeff. I mean, if they think there's somebody in the top five that can help them and they want a package. Look, to move up from number 13, you know, to the...
The five is going to take... may even take the first round, the 31, and another...
No. It wouldn't take the 31. Hold on a second. There's actually... if you type in NFL draft...
Well, while you look at that, I would ask, why a receiver? I mean, that doesn't seem like our number one burning need. And I think Nier's asking about receivers because, Nier, you're a receivers coach in Europe. So we know you have an affinity to receivers. But I think if you were going to trade your picks to get into the top five, I'm not sure that it would be for a receiver as much as it would be for something else.
Yeah, I think it would be maybe like a guy like Vic Beasley. I think it would be a big difference maker on the defensive side of the ball.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you really want a receiver, you still might be able to get a pretty good one at 13 if you really want.
Right.
And, okay. And do you need that?
All right, we're picking at 13, which the draft value chart gives it a 1,150.
Is this based on mock drafts?
No, this is just, you do know what the draft value chart is, right, Jeff?
Nope. Thank you.
I know what a draft value
would do.
But my question is it based on the players this year? Like, it would be a different value? The 13 would have a different value this year than it would next year based on what's available?
I do not believe that's how they do it. They just – this is the value. Like, the first-round pick has a value of 3,000. And this is just a little chart that they use, you know, maybe like a rule of thumb – when you're trading picks. It had nothing to do with who's available or what's going on.
And why didn't you ask Jason if he didn't know? Why me? Like, I feel like you're trying to say something.
I am. So anyway, so like I said, number 13 has a value of 1,150. Number 5 has a value of 1,700. Where the number 32 pick or number 31 pick is 600. So it would just about take our two number ones to move up into the top five.
And I'm not sure that I would be excited about it because I don't think I'd rather, like Jason, you were saying when your initial response is you just get as many bodies right now.
Right. Anyway, I mean, I guess back. And also, if one of the things I noticed Sean Payton said several times during his interview is about how deep this draft is in wide receiver. So, folks, I see us not addressing the wide receiver I think the earliest in the second round, and probably not until one of our two third-round picks.
Mm-hmm.
Just from the way Peyton is saying that.
Well, you got Shontavious and Brandon Coleman that he feels good about.
Yeah, well.
Doesn't quite have boners for him, but he's getting there.
Apparently it's easy for him to get boners for people. So, all right, let's move on. Next Twitter, next look at him tweet is from Wheels034. Michael Willahan comes in with, how many of the moves were locker room issues and how many were good deals? And thank you, Wheels, for using the hashtag look at him tweets.
Uh-huh. I'm going to say, you know what?
I mean, I think the Miami, the Stills move was locker room for sure.
And
it really,
a good deal.
Yeah, I mean, we did get the third round pick, yeah. And I'm assuming LRB can be healthy next year. I mean, if we get nothing from LRB.
Right.
I mean,
look, this guy got hurt 1 year. I mean, give it a break, okay? I mean,
everybody gets hurt at least once.
Right,
But a hip injury, I mean, hip injuries are hard to recover from.
Well, so are ACLs and fucking MCLs. And,
yeah, yeah, but these days, a lot more players come back from those. I mean, major hip injuries are not good.
Injury is very good. But as far as value go, what we got for a fifth-round pick, getting a starting linebacker and a number three – I think was a good move. But also, like Jason said, I think it had more to do with attitude and the locker room. Now that brings up a good question with the Jimmy Graham trade. Do you think the Saints got fleeced in the Jimmy Graham trade?
I don't think so.
I mean, you know, the
31st
pick.
Why do you ask that? You texted that question. Why do you ask that?
Because if you've been watching, and I hate to, you know, ESPN or NFL Network, they've go on and on about how Seattle just took advantage of the Saints, and
that's because the national media
and got the big. Who else
they love fucking Seattle. They love fucking Seattle.
Who else do you listen to?
The Dome Patrol podcast.
I don't listen to the NFL fucking network. Their network.
Right. I know you'd rather some fucking blogger sitting in his home in his parents' basement with a dick in his hand.
Well, that's us.
Right.
Except we're not in our parents' basement.
I don't have my dick in my hand.
Yet.
He did that before the show.
Uh-huh. But, you know, everybody loves Seattle. Everybody loves Pete Carroll. Everybody loves Russell. The media loves Seattle. So, of course, they're going to say that. I don't think
got fleeced. You know what? Fuck you, Jason. That's the that guy answer. Oh, they all hate the Saints. And they love Seattle.
I didn't say they hate the Saints. I said they love Seattle.
They hate the Saints. And they know that's why they do it. I'm gonna hold my breath. Seattle. They love Seattle, so they're not gonna give us any credit. They love Seattle. They're not gonna give us any credit. Yes, asshole. That's what you said.
Say they love Seattle, and Jimmy Graham's a superstar offensive player that these former players, the media types, they're going to gravitate towards. It's a superstar. That's what, because they got the superstar on the deal. That's why they think we got fleeced. They're not going to look at the impact that Max Unger is going to have on this offense. They're not going to look at whoever we get with the 31st pick. That motherfucker better pan out. But still.
But that's just, that's
we didn't get fucking fleeced, and we unloaded. You know, after this year, the next 2 years and $20 million of his contract off the books. We didn't get fleeced.
But you know what? But Seattle got him with only costing $8 million a year. Seattle got a good deal.
Well, this year we're taking a lot of dead money hit. But
well, right. Well,
still, I mean, next year they're gonna have to pay $9 million to their tight end a year. Good. Then you're still gonna have to pay Russell Wilson too. You know, they're still getting by with a lot of their young, cheap guys. That's why they still got all this cap room. It's going to run out soon.
The only guy they haven't paid is Russell Wilson. They've redone Sherman. They've redone Chancellor. They've redone Lynch.
Thomas.
They've redone Thomas. Well, hold on. We're getting.
Yeah, but they're getting Russell Wilson on pennies on the dollar still.
They're getting Russell Wilson for like $1.1 million.
Yeah, now once they sign him for $40 million.
Right, once they give him the big quarterback deal.
Then they're done. That's the difference. That every other team that's close to their salary cap limit has paid their quarterback.
Yeah, well, I get, but they're still $12 million over, and next year they're...
$12 million over? No, under.
Under.
Yeah.
And, you know, next year they, according to overthecap.com, they have, I think it's like $20 million or something. You know, I mean, they have a good amount of money to play with.
Well, maybe their GM's doing a good job of managing their long-term trajectory.
You know
who else is going to have a lot of money next year to play with? Us.
Boom.
As of right now, we have $18 million.
Yeah.
Oh, $2 million.
I mean, in Mickey Loomis dollars, that's like $50 million.
And $18 million. Yeah. $18 million and Drew Brees. Okay, so and they have 20, but they still have to pay Russell Wilson. So all right, moving on. Neil and Near together.
Oh, a double team tweet.
Yes, it's a double lucrative tweet. Yeah, they want to know: are we baseball fans, and if so, what team do we support? A little bit off topic, but I'll give you about 20 seconds on this one.
I am a baseball fan. I got my big fantasy draft tomorrow, actually, and I'm a Cub fan.
There you go. Damon, baseball fan, and if so, what team?
I wish they would stop playing baseball just so I wouldn't have to watch it anywhere. That it wouldn't take up the 2 seconds of my time.
You don't have to watch it. Just watch something else.
No, whenever the sports segment
comes on, you know, the problem
with baseball
is in the playoffs when it interrupts Simpsons, Family Guy, and all those shows on Sunday night.
You know, what bothered me with baseball is any time I see it. Now I do enjoy LSU baseball. I really do like college baseball more so than I like professional baseball. Mm-hmm. And maybe just I really believe it's more so that I have at least some sort of connection with a vested interest, but at least interest in LSU.
It's a local team.
Tulane, right. Southeastern even, you know.
Right.
And the Zephyrs, I enjoy going to the Zephyrs games on Friday nights when they do fireworks. But as far as professional baseball, I don't get it. It's the most boring fucking thing in the world. Strike. Strike. Ball. Fuck! Ball. Fuck! Ball. Fuck! You know, foul, fuck! I mean, God damn, would you just hurry up? Three pitches. That's what I mean. I might watch baseball. Three pitches. That's all you get. Three pitches.
All right, so not
one,
a fan.
Two,
we're gonna mark
two,
you
three,
as not a
three.
Fan.
Three.
I guess we're not gonna have any baseball segments ever on the show.
No.
Right, I guess
so,
unless
so,
LSU makes.
Moving
comments.
On. The next tweet. Too much on baseball. The next tweet comes from the Gear Fondler, who responded to the Sean Payton boner pick, because I tweeted it while you guys were talking, and he already replied with, he was daydreaming about how he plans to use C.J. Spiller. So that's a good one. All right, so then the last tweet that we got, for at least for this segment of Look at Him tweets, mm-hmm. is outside. It's from near, outside the state of Louisiana. Which towns or city do you think you have the most listeners in? Well, fortunately, we don't have to think, because
Jeff
have,
never thinks.
Because we have statistics. And, well, while the U.S. As a country is our number one country, England is the United Kingdom is our number two listenership company or country.
Pause.
Seriously. What happened to you? You're not having a stroke, are you?
I'm trying to pull it up as I talk. I'm trying to do two things at once. Yeah. All right, why don't we pause for a Dome Patrol check?
Do you realize how fast you were going, sir?
Yes, I do. And there is an explanation for that. First of all, let me start off by saying... All
right, yeah, so I'm probably a 4...
Holy shit! That escalated quickly.
Yeah. That got ugly fast.
Wow.
Three big tall boy vodkas, or we'll do it for you.
Oh, jeez. I mean, I'm just at a 1. I'm about to crack open my second beer, and that's.
I'm still at a 0. So.
Alrighty. Okay. So back to the question: where do our listeners come from? So if we're looking at all
the stork.
If you're looking, I see what you did there. If you're looking at all time since the Dome Patrol podcast.com started, the United States, obviously, as far as countries go, it's the United States with 86.6%, and then the UK with 4.8%. So big drop off as far as, you know, and we've made the joke over the years that we're an international podcast because so many, I think more of our vocal listeners come from other countries. But do you know what country comes in number 3 for us?
I have zero.
Take a guess.
China.
Nope.
There has to be an English-speaking country.
Damon, it's not. English as a first language, it is not.
I would say...
France?
Brazil.
You are correct, Damon. It is Brazil.
Huh.
483... times the podcast has played in Brazil. Okay, so now let's go within the U.S. Okay, oh, sorry. In the world, the U.K., so the question is, other than the U.S., who beats the U.K.? So the U.K. has 1,132 hits.
Okay, you don't need to give all that.
Yeah, we don't.
Hold on.
Yeah.
In the U.S.
1,000 of those by combined Neil and Neer.
Right. Yeah.
Texas, New York, unknown. California.
For parts unknown? Was the Undertaker's been listening?
Yeah. So the U.K. as a whole has, we have more listenership from the U.K. than we do in Mississippi, than we do in Georgia, than we do in Florida, than we do in South Carolina.
Of course, because they have other teams.
Right.
All right, I'm not trying to, I mean, you don't get so aggressive. I'm just reading.
Hey, fuck you, buddy.
Shit, man. I mean, I'm not trying to say anything. I'm just saying they asked what the stats look like. I'm giving you the stats. The UK is better as Saints fans for the Dome Patrol podcast than Mississippi, who's next to us.
Well, you know what? That means we're like fucking Jerry Lewis and we do better in Europe than we do here. So we got to fucking bring our shit on the road, get our ass up, and go to Europe.
There you go.
Yeah.
For a tour.
We got to start talking about soccer more often.
Right. No.
No. I like how Damon said right and then realized. What no, he's was, what that, he just,
right. Damon's got soccer and baseball both in the back corner.
Yeah. All right. So next topic or next segment of the show is message board mayhem.
At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
And this one, I just wanted to make a comment on the Drew Brees trade rumors, and that's because Sean Payton and Mickey Loomis were asked about it. Mickey Loomis came in and said, basically, you know, I never made one phone call. We never had Drew Brees up on the block. We didn't do it like a fire sale. Everybody on our team is for sale. He said that it was basically whatever those trade rumors were message board or website or desperate reporters looking for clicks. And so I just thought it was interesting because it was a fake story generated by some douchebag who wanted to get clicks and got so wildly out of control that even the national media started reporting it as though it were a story.
Well, I believe it said this within the last couple episodes that the internet has really just killed everything.
Like,
can say something and it's reported as fact.
And there was even an article on NFL.com, like the trades we'd love, you know, top 10 trades we'd love to see or whatever. And it was Brees getting traded to Buffalo or the Jets or.
That's so funny.
Like there was rumors that, like, oh, either Brees or Phillip Rivers might get traded to the Jets. Well, I just have to turn.
Look, these poor people have to produce content 365 days a year, and they're just. We all love football. We're all dying for football, but there just isn't content for a fucking article every fucking day. So you have to say stupid shit, and that's the problem. News of any kind should be limited to 2 hours a day.
That's the 24-hour news cycle.
Is terrible. News, unless it's a breaking story, unless something good's happening. Because, look, I enjoy watching breaking stories. But 2 hours, that's all you get. Every day, 2 hours. And you just replay the same two fucking hours. And even that might be too much. And be it sports, local, politics, or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I 100% agree with you.
Right. It's all the problems that we have in this country.
You know, I mean, that's why I've been really shutting my brain off from, I mean, other than doing the show.
Well, you've been.
Really haven't been paying a lot of attention to football lately because I'm giving myself a break. Once the draft starts getting, you know, really close, then I'll get back into it. But, like, I'm not going to force myself to just, I love football. Sorry, I don't love it that much.
No, you're right. Look, you know, the opening day of the free agency was very exciting, and especially with what we, you know.
I got a half chub like Sean
Payton. But that's relevant. It's relevant. You're right.
Correct.
It was good.
Correct.
It was
relevant.
Good. It was topical, but it doesn't need to be talked about every day. We did one show. We covered everything.
Right. No, and you're right, but that's what I'm saying. I mean, that's the only I'm like Jason also, where I – you know, after the Super Bowl, I haven't watched anything. You know, I haven't. And again,
right.
I haven't watched ESPN or or the NFL Network. I mean,
well, you don't need to anymore.
Right, I haven't.
You don't need to. I got the Saints app.
Yeah.
And I do my little Google search for Saints news, yeah. And I curate what I want when I want it. But going back to the Drew Brees trade rumor situation, I agree with everything you guys said, but I would also add to the Saints fans who bought in. Come on, man. Like to steal something from ESPN, that's the one thing that I mean, come on.
There are still some fans out there that think we should trade him, which is just ludicrous.
No, that's all right. For those people, you actually have – I'm going to give you a say. If you feel like we should trade Drew Brees, fine. State your case. But for those of you who bought in and being like, hey, I heard the Saints are going to trade Drew Brees, and I heard this, and I heard – I want to slap you across the face.
Slap you.
I'm going to slap you.
Come on. And I can't tell you, but you know, because we do the show and people that I know in my everyday life, because we do the show, they're like, you know, are you guys going to talk about the Drew Brees trade on the show? Or what do you think about the Drew Brees trade? What does the Dome Patrol podcast think about the Drew Brees trade? And I just kind of give him a look like, shut the fuck up. That's not – like, for one, we never talked about it because it's a stupid – we never fell for it. And the only reason I'm bringing it up today is to tell people to stop falling for it, not to talk about the possibility of it happening as though we believe it to be true. Fuck them. All right. That's enough time spent on that.
Okay.
All right. NFL reach round.
Well, let me answer Jason one thing from going back in the show. Jason, next year Seattle has $43 million under the cap. So I'm pretty sure they can get Russell Wilson
signed.
And with that, they have Richard Sherman, Marshawn Lynch, Earl Thomas, Jimmy Graham.
There's got to be somebody
that
we're missing that's got to be up for a big deal too, though. There's
they really don't have superstars.
They did.
They're winning as a team.
Well, hold on. Well, this leads me to, and for our fans, we text this question, I think, last night or so. Are we overpaying guys?
And I texted y'all. Y'all didn't respond. But it was a good stat put up by @TBKNola on Twitter about a majority of the players. Like we have like 60 something players under contract next year. Like 30 of them are more than 4 years in the league. We got like 12 or 13 guys above the age of 30. So we're on the. I mean, we're not.
They're at the bulk of their contract, is what you're trying to say.
Right, like we don't have enough young guys on rookie deals. We got a lot of older players who are going to be on their big contracts, basically.
But look, Richard Sherman is on his big contract. Shut up, God damn it! I'll let you fucking talk. Shut the fuck up. Can you do that?
Nope.
Hey, relax, guy.
Richard Sherman is on his second deal. Earl Thomas is on his second deal. Cam Chancellor is on his second deal.
But now they just signed their deals, so they're in the first. They're in the early parts of the deal. When the cap hit isn't big, the cap hit's going to spike.
But I'm looking at the 2016, not even 2015, which means a lot of these guys are on their third and fourth years of those deals. You know, I'm talking about next year, and they have $43 million. Now I think you had mentioned, yes, we have a lot of dead money this year because of kicking the can down the road.
Right. The problem we had with not hitting in the draft is that we had to spend on free agency. That's why we're up against the cap because we couldn't we whiffed on a bunch of draft picks.
Yeah, we whiffed. Yeah.
So we got to feel the only way to field a competitor is through free agency. So you had to pay, you pay a David Hawthorne $4 or $5 million a year when you could have drafted a linebacker. If you hit on a guy, draft him in the second round, you're paying him $1 million. I mean, a lot of it goes into that.
I really do tend to think that we overpay on a lot of guys.
Well, maybe for what we get out of them.
Well, definitely. Yeah. And unfortunately,
that's why Lofton had to go.
Yeah, I mean, we gave Lofton a little too much. And, I mean, a lot of these guys had to restructure, and we gave Evans a lot. Now, Evans was a fucking all-pro guard. I mean, you can't just let him walk away. I mean, we let Nix walk away, but we had to keep at least one of them.
Right. And one of the things I heard was that Nubs was approached to take a pay cut, and he wouldn't. And so that's what facilitated the trade to Kansas City.
Now, Peyton did also mention that they're still looking at possibly reworking Evans' deal.
Right.
So that's probably still going to happen.
Right. Because, look, right, as of right now, we're only 1 point something under the cap. And we're going to need at least $4 or $5 million to.
No, I think it was somebody said like maybe 2.7 to sign all the rookies.
Right now we're 1.2 under the cap.
Yeah, we're still going to need to find something.
So we still need some money out there. I don't think we're going to be very active in free agency here on out. And tell me if you feel like maybe we talked about this last year or last week, but I think maybe we can bring in some lower tier free agents. Kind of like we did in 2006.
Scott St. Shanley's and the...
Hey, Scott Shanley and Scott Fujita are Super Bowl champions and a big part of that. Even he who shall not be mentioned, you know, when we brought him in 2009. Here was an aging player at the twilight of his career.
Yeah, hell of a season.
But...
All right, good. Moving on.
I mean, it's kind of an abrupt ending, but I think it's the problem of missing on the draft picks and having draft picks taken away from us. I mean, we had those 2 second round picks taken away. Those are two young, cheap guys that.
Yeah.
If they draft the right guys, so it's and that's another reason why I think we're gonna keep. I mean, I'd like to keep all of our picks because I think we need as many young bodies on the team as possible.
Pedophile alert.
Hey.
That's a shout out to Look at Him tweets. All right, and now moving on officially to NFL Reach Around. Topic of conversation is around the NFL discussing rescinding the blackout rule, or did that already happen?
It already happened.
Yeah, it already happened.
Okay, so that's out.
But there were only like two or three blackouts last year, the whole season. So
well, that's now, but it's interesting because I mean the NFL is not going to be like this forever. And I guess they could reinstitute it whenever they need to.
Right, right. That's what I thought, Jeff. Is that they're not going to be this juggernaut.
The at-home experience is still getting better and better.
Right.
No, again, and Jason knows this because he goes to the games. I go to the games. I have for, God, I don't know now, 30-something years. Okay, not that long.
Not that long. You get there, though. You're going to have a 30th anniversary soon.
I don't know, 89 to 2014. Figure out however long that is.
25.
It is...
7 3 years.
Yeah, it is.
I see what you did there.
I mean, there's nothing like being at the game. There's nothing like being at the game, man. You just the energy you feel. Not this is when we're winning.
Yeah, right. I was going to say that. Like, this wasn't, when a team, yes.
This wasn't necessarily during the Dick of years, you know.
Right.
Yeah. You know.
I mean, all we had to look forward to was Kyle Turley throwing a helmet. Like that was our excitement back then.
Right. But you know, so
that was the Hazlitt years.
Oh yeah, you know what? God, that was.
You know, but so many of my memories, I mean, are with the Saints. Like, you know, the famous, when the gondola caught fire because of the fireworks and drifted down to the field. I mean, I was.
But you know what? I remember seeing that on TV.
Yeah, it was different.
You know what, though? I remember it. You remember it. I remember it.
Well, that's like saying that you remember fucking Pam Anderson because you saw fucking Tommy Lee do it. And Tommy Lee saying, yeah, it's a little different. It's a little different, okay?
Cock's probably a little bigger.
Well, not just that, but the feeling. Probably a little different, okay? Oh, I saw Pam Anderson get fucked on TV. Tommy Lee said, yeah, it's a little bit different, pal. I remember.
Were you burned by the fire? I mean,
no, but I was there.
Okay, well, I saw it too. I have a memory of it too.
No, you don't. No,
I do.
No, you don't.
I do.
No, you don't have a memory of it. You have a memory of watching it on TV.
That's not a memory of it.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's not a memory of it. Okay, go on.
Right. You think?
Listen, decide. Tweet me. Tell me.
Is
my memory of seeing it not a memory?
You think being on Elm Street on November 22nd, and watching John F. Kennedy's head explode, or watching it as a Bruder film, you think those kind of come close? I mean, you know.
Well, I'm not comparing your memory to.
How about Neil Armstrong on the moon? I saw it. I mean, you know.
I'm not comparing. I think one memory is better than the other. I'm saying I have a memory of it.
I am.
He has a memory of it. It's just like he didn't get the whole picture. Like you sitting in the dome, see the whole thing occurring right there.
Right.
It's still a memory of the same event, but yours is probably more vivid.
Please tweet Jeff what an idiot he is.
Please tweet Damon what an idiot he is.
He can't tweet him.
Tweet the show. Hashtag Damon's an idiot. Hashtag Jeff's an idiot. And we'll count the votes.
Thank you, folks.
All right, go on. Go on with your fire.
I think he went.
I mean, that was it. You know, I mean, I'm saying it just the end dome experience is so awesome. Just, and goodness forbid, 2009 is just something you can't even, you know, will never be duplicated.
Yeah, I mean, being in the stadium for the NFC title game is just...
It's just stupid. And I think I've said this on here before, but that game couldn't have ended better. Meaning that if we would have been up like we were in so many teams that year...
The game the previous week with the Cardinals.
Well,
you know, 45 to...
Well, right, okay, you know, good point. The game we get the Cardinals, because we had it so in hand, we started drinking, the section around me. I didn't even realize Kurt Warner went out. I didn't know that until I watched highlights and I called my friend to go. I said, "Did you know Kurt Warner went out?" He said, "No." Because we were all drinking and just celebrating. And that was fun. But the following week, just lining up for that kick and having a definitive answer, when that kick made it, you knew we were going to the Super Bowl. And just the anticipation built up. And again, fellas, my whole section was holding hands. Everybody's holding hands. You know, I mean, just, and when that kick goes through, it's just like, I don't even know how to feel. I don't believe it. You know, like, just amazing.
And being in the Gleason game in 06, too. I mean, being there in the stadium for that. Just a, you know, very, I mean, still emotional for you watching on TV, too, but being in the dome.
Sure. When you go back, I mean, I can remember everything about that day. You know, just going down there. It had been 15 months since we had been in the dome, which is the longest period span I've gone. And like you said, at that time, I guess 20 years, 15 years. No.
Yeah.
Or whatever the hell it is. And it just, yeah. So I forget what the blackout.
Hold that for a little.
What are we talking about again?
All right.
So, yeah. I mean, no big deal, but the TV experience becoming better and better and the ticket prices going up and up, but they're selling them. People are buying them.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
like y'all said, there was only, what, 2 blackouts last year, and they're both in Jacksonville?
Right.
Maybe Oakland might have had one of them.
Mm. Now I can remember stories from my brother, who's 13 years older than I am. Anyway, he would drive, and don't ask me how this was cheaper than getting a ticket to the dome, but I remember the Saints used to have so many blackouts in the 80s, pre-Jim Mora, that he would drive whatever the 70 miles limit is, like I think to Biloxi,
and rent
a hotel room to sit there and watch the game.
Wow.
Yeah, those are true stories.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that was before like satellite was.
Oh yeah, right. We're talking about you know late 70s, early 80s. You know, yeah.
Wow, that's impressive.
A lot different, yeah.
I remember blackouts when I was younger, and I hated it. I hated the experience. But what it did, though, I will say, it taught me to learn how to listen to a game on the radio. And do you know what I used to do? I would sit there and listen on the radio, and sometimes preseason games too that I couldn't get on TV.
Back in my day.
When I was a kid, I would draw, I got a piece of like loose leaf paper or something, and I would, that was the field, right? And you know how usually when they would start the game, the press box would say, you know, the Saints are moving from our left to the right kind of thing. And so I would draw a football field on this piece of paper, and I would follow along when they would say where the Saints were while I listened to the radio so I could create a visual experience for myself.
Ha! Fags!
I'm pretty proud of that. I mean, I thought that was pretty cool. And to this day, when I listen on the radio, I think of that paper.
Okay, I got to. This could become our new clip du jour.
Yeah, it's going to be a clip du jour, right?
We're going to be the homophobe podcast.
So the other last NFL reach around thing I do have is the extra point talk. Have you guys read up on what was discussed and that there's probably going to be a vote in May about changing the extra point?
I know the one thing I heard was some team pitched the idea of like you can go for two and then if you get it, then you can also kick an extra point, too?
Yeah, I didn't hear that.
Oh, yeah, Indianapolis came up with that one.
Okay,
right, that you go for two, and if you make it, then you can try a 50-yard field goal for another extra point.
A 50-yard field goal? No. What I heard was that...
Well, hold on.
Well, yeah. I mean, it got shot down. I don't think it's not going to be up for debate. It was just a weird thing that was...
No, I think the more realistic ones were, one, moving the field goal back, the extra point back to like a 15-yarder or something.
Well, no, I think moving the ball to the 15 to make it a...
31-yarder.
Right, 30-something,
right.
Right.
Or the other one was to eliminate it altogether and every team and move the 2 point up to the 1 yard line.
The 1.5 yard line, right.
Yeah. And then the other one was...
One was allowing the defense to score, like in college.
Because
as you know, if the ball's turned over in a 2 point try, where now if the ball, if the offense doesn't make it, the ball's dead.
Where you could intercept it and run it back, maybe.
Right, and all of our fans know that in college that's what you can do. I would like to see that implemented.
I think that's definite easy added in. Now, would it be worth two or would it be worth six?
No, two. Just like in college. I'm sure it's just like the college rule. Yeah. And I mean, and that, my goodness, that happens so rarely. I mean,
yeah. So just
that happens just about as many times as Jeff has sex. So.
Wow.
You hardly ever see it.
That often? Once a month?
Once a month.
You see what I did there?
Yeah.
No, I think, I personally feel like, so there's not, I'm not going to go into what I feel. What do you guys feel we ought to do with the extra point?
I think it should be a 35 35-yarder. I'm good with it.
No,
but I think that's what they ought to do.
Right. Okay. Right now, the ball's placed on the 2 yard line. You have 10 yards to the end zone. That's 12. The kicker roughly stands 8 yards. So it's roughly a 20-yard kick. I mean, I say move it back between 25 and 27. I mean a 30.
I think 30 is still it's a chip shot for these guys.
No,
I think 30
well,
would be the
whole
right
idea.
Number for
it. It shouldn't be an automatic. So a 30, it's not guaranteed.
I like 90%
is fine. Like you need to make that extra point something that becomes a critical play in the game.
I mean, I would still think 30-yarders are made 95% of the time.
Right.
At least. So it's still a high percentage that you're going to make it, but...
It needs to be
like,
a meaningful
play.
If it's not going to be a meaningful play, eliminate. And that was another idea. Was one team proposed eliminate it from the game altogether and just make the touchdown seven points?
I don't want to see it eliminated. I just like to see it push back a little bit.
Again, I wouldn't mind seeing it push back, not to the 30. I'd rather have it eliminated, but obviously the 2 point conversion, is always an option if you need it.
So you would, Damon? What would you do? You're the king of football. What are you going to do?
I mean, with these choices, I would eliminate it.
No, not these choices, period. What do you do? The idea is the extra point has become
an obsolete thing.
How do you either make it relevant or what do you do about getting to seven or eight?
I say you push it back 5 yards, not 10 yards.
Okay, Jason, what do you say?
I'd like to make it a 30-yard field goal for the extra point.
And then you could still – where do you put the two-point conversion?
Oh, leave the two-point where it is.
Yeah.
Two-yard line?
Leave the two-point at the two-yard line, definitely.
Okay. I would like to say that you eliminate it. So a touchdown is worth 7. And if you want the extra to get to 8, then you go for 2 from the 2. Or you'd be going for 1 from the 2 in that case. You go for – if you want to just take your 7, well,
right,
everybody would just go for the 8. I mean, you get it, you don't.
No, I think what it was – because this was the proposal I talked about last year. What you do there is that a touchdown is worth 7. But if you go for 2, a touchdown is worth 6.
Okay. I'll buy that.
If you go
you can
for
either two. Take the 7 and kick off, or if you risk the extra in order to get an extra.
Correct.
Risk 1 to get 1.
Correct.
Boom. That's what I'm voting for. All right. Final thoughts, Jason.
My final thoughts, WrestleMania this weekend. I will unfortunately not be watching it.
Is The Rock going to be there?
No, The Rock is not going to be there. It's Brock Lesnar. And what's cause it's not New Orleans. That's why I'm watching. But The Undertaker's coming back. Undertaker's fighting. It's going to be interesting to see if he can recover from his loss last year. And also Sting finally getting in a WWE ring
what?
For the first time ever. Yeah, he's wrestling Triple H.
Wow. Where can I watch such things?
Something called a TV?
Yeah, I'm not paying
attention. I mean, I think what they have the
I know
WWE.
Iceman. I know you're gonna watch it, but
there's got to be somebody, a friend of yours around where you live that's gonna watch it. Just go hang out at his house.
All right.
He has no friends. Stop it.
Yeah, you're both on the podcast and you're not here.
Why do you keep pointing that out? That's not very nice.
I go to a bar. It's got to be on a bar somewhere.
All right, Damon. Final thoughts.
Final thoughts. I have no final thoughts. Nothing. I'm just waiting for football. The draft.
Right, you don't have to have them.
I have no final thoughts. I just
they don't have to be football related. It could be about Better Call Saul.
Yeah.
I mean, which I think is a fantastic show.
I do too, but that was going to lead into another long discussion.
Okay.
Right.
An hour and a half.
Yeah.
So
right. Right.
This is a supersized episode.
Right. No, so, final thoughts. I'm ready for the draft to get here. I'm so excited, like we talked about last week. This is finally a draft where we have so many picks that the first night and the second day is going to be fun for Saints fans. We're going to either be Googling guys or, you know.
I wish there was a way we could do some kind of a live show, or at least maybe we record an instant reaction show after the first day or something.
A little 15 minute.
Yeah.
After the fact, and look, this is going to be a good year to do it because we have 2 picks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we should have. And I don't know what. I don't.
Caffrey, or even if we organize like a get together. I don't know if I'm going to be in town or not. But if I am in
Jason,
town,
Jason's going to be in Disney World.
Yeah, I'm going to be in Florida.
Sucking Mickey Mouse's cock.
I'm actually going to be at Universal. Be playing with Harry Potter's wand.
Oh my God, that's been perfect for the theme of the show.
See, that's right.
Okay.
I can make fun of myself.
I'm ending it there. That's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and for telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. For some reason, you like us on Facebook.com/Dome Patrol Podcast, where we don't really post anything. But we encourage you to follow us or friend us or something on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast. If you don't listen to us on iTunes, Android, or Google Play, there's the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, Dome Patrol Podcast.
.com.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, extra point, donkeys.
Good night, Hoodat Nation.
Bleep, 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 bleep.